Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. But we're going to read all the way to verse 14. This is the reading of God's word. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience and joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For He rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this precious time of hearing Your word. Let us hear Your loving voice through Your word. Let us hear the wonderful stories of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Your word, let us see what He has done and what He has accomplished for us, so that we may give You all the glory and thanksgiving. Let us joyfully hear Your word. And through Your word, let us have that joyful fellowship with Your Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, as we hear Your word, let our faith grow. And with that growing faith, let us witness Jesus Christ in our lives and in the life of this church. We thank You and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, we have said that in verses 3 through 14, we find Paul's thanksgiving prayer. And in verses 3 to 8, we see the content of Paul's thanksgiving. Let me remind you, Paul is thanking our God for their faith in Jesus Christ and their love for one another. And their faith and their love comes from their hope laid in heaven. And that hope came to them as they heard the gospel, the word of truth. They heard the gospel and they understood the grace of God, and that gospel they heard is bearing fruits and making them grow. That's what Paul is thanking God of. And now we come to verses 9 through 14, which is Paul's prayer for the Colossian saints. Now we could see here, as we read about what he's praying, we could see that Paul practices what he preaches. Because in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, Paul said, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And that's exactly what Paul is doing. He's praying, but with thanksgiving. Because he understands what kind of salvation has been already accomplished for him. Now, we must remember that Paul's prayer that we see here is also God's word. Yes, Paul is praying these things and it's his writing, but we know and we believe that it's also God's word, which means that it is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, we are able to conclude that the content of Paul's prayer here is the content of our Lord's own prayer, because these are His words. The Bible tells us that even now our Lord Jesus Christ is praying for us. Thus, in verses 9 through 14, we could read the heart of our Lord Jesus Christ toward us, His people. Because these are the things that our Lord is praying for us. We are able to know the will of God toward us. And what is the will of God for us? Verses 9 through 12 tells us. We will look at these things one by one, but today it will be a general sermon on prayer. What is the will of God? It says, Paul is praying that we may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that we will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, and joyously giving thanks to the Father. This is the will of our God toward us, that you may be like this. But I want you to understand that, spiritually speaking, that you are already like this. When we read this prayer of Paul, and ultimately the prayer of our Lord Jesus Christ, it brings us so much joy. Why? Because this prayer for us will be answered, will be fulfilled, and spiritually speaking, it is already fulfilled in Jesus Christ. All that our Lord Jesus Christ accomplishes are already accomplished, but not yet visibly consummated. Spiritually already fulfilled, but not yet visibly consummated. So you could say that it is accomplished, and it's being accomplished, and one day it will be visibly consummated. Thus, until all is visibly consummated, we must live by faith. That it is already accomplished, but it's not visible, so what is required? Faith. You need to understand that as we read Paul's prayer for us, which is God's word, we have already become this kind of people. And at the same time, we are becoming this kind of people. And one day, our eternal heavenly reality will be visibly consummated. It's very, very important that you understand. If you pray biblically, you are praying for the things that has been already accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when you pray for the earthly things, that you feel everything that you're praying about somehow is not accomplished at all, that's something that has to be accomplished in the future. But if you pray according to the Bible, because we find so many prayers in the New Testament. And read them. Read them and try to figure out whoever is praying that, either Jesus Christ or Paul or any other apostles, what are they praying for? And I will guarantee you, it's not earthly things. Now, your prayer in your life should be the prayers that you, it should be like the prayers that you find in the Bible. Now, I'm not saying you should not pray anything of this world, No. But if that becomes the center or the primary things that you are asking, then your prayer is far from what we see in the Bible. When it comes to earthly things, God said, don't even worry about what to eat and what to drink and what to wear. And if you don't worry about that, now, we must learn a valuable truth here. Verse 9 begins with, for this reason. What does that mean? Because previous verses, 3 to 8, are true. For that reason. Or because Colossian saints live with faith in Jesus Christ. Because they love one another. Because their faith and love comes from the hope laid in heaven, because they are bearing fruits and growing. For this reason, he prays. Now, isn't that strange? Paul says that they are living by faith. They love one another. And this faith and love comes from their hope laid in heaven. And they hear the gospel, and this gospel is bearing fruits, and they're growing. It seems like that there is no need for prayer. Don't you think that's pretty strange, that everything is going so well, and yet for that reason he prays? Why do you pray? Because everything is going well, or because you feel that everything is not going well? We have to come to the Bible to truly understand what God requires of us. Our, you know, Christianity is not something that we invent. God has already given us his word to tell us exactly how Christian must be, or Christianity must be. It seems all has been accomplished, and yet Paul says in verse 9a, for this reason also, since the day we heard of it, since Epaphras came and told us about you, we have not ceased to pray for you. Paul knows that God is working and God is accomplishing all of his will for his people. Everything is according to his plan, and everything is being carried out according to his plan. We all know that and we believe that, and Paul definitely knows that and believes that. One might ask, then, we know that God has planned everything and he carries out everything according to his plan, and that's exactly what is happening right now. One might ask, then why do we pray? Well, let's go to Ezekiel chapter 36 together. Ezekiel chapter 36. I want you to see it yourself. Ezekiel chapter 36, go to verse 36. That's easy to remember, right? 36. Let me read that to you. Then the nations that are left around about, you will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it and will do it. Now, let me ask you. God says here, I have spoken it and I will do it. Do you have any doubt that this will not happen? It will happen. God says himself, I will do it. But if you read next verse, this is what it says. Thus says the Lord God, This also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. You have to understand God's method. Oh yes, God will do it. Definitely He will do it. But He says, but they have to ask me to do this. They need to pray. This is just how God does things. We cannot ask Him why, because that's just how it is. That's His method. That's how He does things. Praying is God's will for us. Yes, God accomplishes all things according to His pleasing will, but God wants us to pray, and it is God's pleasing will to work through the prayers of His people. And in order for this to accomplish, that God plans it and He will do it, but He wants us to pray for it. We must understand God's will, which He revealed to us in the Bible. He told us what His will is for us, so that we may pray according to His will, so that He will do His will. This is His method. That's why God teaches us the Word, so that we may know His will, so that we may pray accordingly, so that God would work through that prayer. You ask me, why does God do that way? I can't say it to you. But what I could tell you is that this is how God does it. So prayer is very, very important. But we need to pray according to His will. See, prayer is not something that we do or we use to get what we want from God. Don't ever think like that. See, some people think that prayer is kind of an instrument they could use so that they could get what they want from God. That's not biblical prayer. Jesus Christ often fellowshiped with His Father through prayer. And even now, Jesus is praying to His Father for us. Thus, we dare say that to pray is to participate in that fellowship of the Trinity. Because our Lord always prays, to pray is to participate in the life of Christ, His prayer life. It is to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ. It is to participate in His prayer. Thus, in order for us to do so, we must know Jesus Christ and His will for us. Brothers and sisters, we must pray according to His will. Look at Jesus' prayer at the Mount Gethsemane. It's not about what He wanted. It's not my will, but yours will be done. That's the Christian prayer. Thus, it is very important to study the prayers in the Bible. We must pray the prayers that even our Lord Jesus Christ could say amen. I mean, if Jesus is right next to you, well, He's actually in you. He's always with you. And you pray all these things and you ask that question, would Jesus say amen to everything that I pray? What if he can't say amen to your prayer? Then what? Because all your prayer, if it is coming from your selfish desire of this world, then You think Jesus will say amen to that prayer? So ask that question when you pray next time. And Paul says, we have not ceased to pray for you. If you pray according to the Bible, then we are praying for what Jesus Christ has already accomplished spiritually. We are praying for what Jesus Christ is accomplishing even now. And we are praying for what he will visibly consummate. We are able to pray with certainty, and we do not give up. We continue to pray. See, when I pray for your sanctification, and I do, I have confidence, I have certainty as I pray for you. You will, if you are a child of God, you will become like Christ. So when I pray that you will become more like Christ, I pray with confidence. And that's what Christian prayer is all about. We pray with certainty because we pray according to God's will. But if you are praying for earthly things, then you cannot have confidence. You don't know whether God's going to give you that or not. That's why your prayer is not with certainty. It just becomes wishing, which is not prayer at all. Do you want God's will to be done in your life? Is that your desire? Well, then pray for that. And when you do pray for that, pray with confidence because you will be that kind of person. You are already spiritually. See, when we look at Lord's Prayer, everything that we pray, it has already accomplished. Thy kingdom come. Yes, visibly we have to wait, but his kingdom did come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's already accomplished. Jesus Christ came and accomplished it. See, everything that you pray in Lord's Prayer, which Lord taught us to pray, it's already accomplished. That's why when you pray those things, you could do it with confidence. There's no way that your prayer will not be answered. And that's how it is. If you pray according to the Bible, all your prayers, consider it done. But because God is accomplishing and that he has already accomplished and he will visibly consummate, you continue to pray because that is God's method, that he wants to work through your prayers. Which means your prayers are it's contributed in God's work, and it is our honor that is so, that God would use my prayer in his glorious work. See, we do not cease praying for one another. It is when we pray according to our evil desires, we just do not have confidence in our prayers. How could we? Brothers and sisters, truly don't worry about what to eat and what to drink and what to wear. God says, if you have some clothing and food, be content. Oh, God will give you more than that. I could witness to that. Man, when I think about how much God gives me, this is truly amazing grace. And I don't need all that I have. And yet I'm so, you know, self-centered that I'm not good at sharing these things with other people. Today, let us talk a little more about what is prayer, and next time we will start looking at the content of Paul's prayer. When we pray, we witness clearly who we are and who God is. When we pray, we humble ourselves. We are humbling ourselves. It is to say to God, I cannot do this. I'm not able. It is to say to God that only you, God, you are able. I mean, isn't that what prayer is? If you're truly praying, you are saying, I'm not able, but you are God. It witnesses, if you're truly praying, it witnesses who we are and who God is, clearly. When we pray, we acknowledge that we are weak and feeble. Those who, through prayer, want to show how powerful they are, they're completely ignorant of what biblical prayer really is. You know, you meet some of these Christians sometimes, and they act like, you know, through their prayers, you know, they are a really powerful person. No, you are actually humbling yourself when you pray. You're saying, I'm not able. Only God is. When we pray, we are confessing that we are utterly incapable and completely not able. Thus, those who do not pray are very arrogant people. What are they saying by not praying? That they are able. They could do this on their own. Obviously, if you get into a trouble, and serious trouble to you, oh, then you be praying. Because you know you cannot do it on your own. So when your regular life, everyday life is without prayer, you're being very arrogant. So in your regular things, you don't need God. Somehow it's all on your own and your strength and your ability that you feel you don't need to pray. This is what we call arrogant people. It's not, you know, don't define these things according to the world. You have to biblically define these words. This is what arrogant means. That you do not depend on God. And you show that by not praying. Just think about how much we need God in everything that we do. That's why God says, pray always. Because we always need God. Always. In everything we do. Through prayer, we do not change God's mind. Oh, we meet some of these people too. That somehow through prayer they could change God's mind. See, God did not want it to do it that way, but you pray and pray, so he changes his mind. Wow, how powerful that person is. Give me a break. How can anybody say that kind of thing? But we do find some people like that. No, you do not change God's mind through prayer. I don't care how fervently you pray, you will not change his mind. But through prayer, we change our hearts to match God's will for us. Because if you pray, and you pray often, and if you truly pray, you're seeking his will, so that your heart will slowly change to match his will for you. And if you study the prayers of the Bible, especially in the New Testament, you will not find any prayer that seek this world and the things of the world. Only thing that you might be able to show me is that in the Lord's Prayer, when we are taught to pray for the daily bread, you might say, oh, see here, daily bread, we are to seek worldly things. But no one will accuse you of seeking the world if only thing that you are seeking is daily bread. I'll guarantee it. If you're just seeking daily bread, just enough to survive one day, no one will say, oh, you're seeking the world. No, no. No one will do that. God will not do it. But other than that, read the New Testament prayers. Nobody seeks the worldly things. In Colossians 3, we'll learn it later. God says, do not seek the things of the world. God told us to seek the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God. God told us to seek the things above. And I'm telling you this over and over, and I'm being accused of telling you things over and over, but I don't mind telling you things over and over. When it comes to earthly things, God has told us not to worry what to eat, what to wear, and what to drink. All will be provided according to His will. And here I have to say, I'm not saying that we must live poor. That is not what I'm talking about. I actually want all of you to be rich. But not so much rich in earthly things, but rich with the heavenly things. But those earthly things are not our primary purpose. That is not why we live. And that's what I'm talking about. If God makes you rich, then bless you. But if God makes you poor, bless you. Oh, brothers and sisters, those things ultimately truly doesn't matter. Those things do not define me or you. That's how the world does it. See, when the world sees you without certain things, oh, then to them, you're nobody. Oh, somehow they're forcing us to think that I need to have iPhone in one hand and Starbucks in another hand. And if you don't have those, then you're nobody. I was like, why do we follow that kind of stuff? They don't tell me who I am. I do not listen to the world. You listen to God. God tells us who we are, truly who we are, forever in Jesus Christ. Notice what Paul is praying about. And let me remind you here that Paul is in a prison. Now, that changes a lot. I mean, think about this. Paul is praying these things, and yet he is in a prison. And you will not hear Paul praying for his release from the prison. Oh, he doesn't do that. Because he understands that that's God's will. And even in prison, he preaches the gospel so that he understands that God sent him there to preach to these prison guards so that they and their family could be saved. This is how Paul lives. Is he missing out? I don't think so. In a prison,
Paul prays, not for himself, but he prays for the others. All his prayers are not for himself. Why? Because Paul imitates his Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, now in heaven, ever prays for the others. He prays for us. And he's calling us to do the same. We're so selfish, even when it comes to prayer. We're so selfish. Self-centered. Oh, I'm not saying don't pray for yourself. But if that becomes a majority of what you pray, then there's a problem. See, Paul prays that they would be more and more like our Lord Jesus Christ. He prays for the sanctification of the brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Thus to tell us what our purpose truly is, to become like Christ. That is the will of God toward us. The New Testament prayers are different from the prayers that we find in the Old Testament. Now, this is very important, so we'll understand this and try to wrap this up. In the prayers of the Old Testament, we often find complaints. You know, how long? For example, Psalm 13, verse 1. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? So in the Old Testament prayer, all these complaints. You read about complaints. How long are you going to, you know, let me stay in this situation? But when we read all of Paul's prayer, you will not find any complaint, not even one. None of these, how long? Then question is, then, what happened in between Old Testament time and Paul's time that his prayer now has no more complaints? You know the answer. Jesus came. See, Old Testament time, Jesus did not come yet. He didn't accomplish everything yet. So it is appropriate in the Old Testament to say, how long? See, Paul's life, as you know, was every bit difficult and filled with so much sufferings and persecutions as anyone who lived in the Old Testament. And yet, in all of his prayer, we will never find any complaints. And you must learn from that. That Christian life in the New Testament times is without complaints. Because of what Jesus Christ has done and accomplished. To complain means that you are not satisfied with what Christ has done and accomplished. Somehow you think that Christ's accomplishments is not enough. He came and accomplished our eternal salvation, eternal life. If we truly understand what our Lord has accomplished, what we possess in the result of his work, then we will realize that there is nothing to complain about. Thus, true Christianity has no more complaints. The last complaint of Christianity was uttered by our Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? That is the last complaint of Christianity. After the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, after our eternal life and the kingdom of God has been accomplished, there is no more complaints
in Christianity. Only complete satisfaction, the perfect contentment, not being satisfied in the New Testament shows that he or she still does not understand what really happened, what really is accomplished by our Lord Jesus Christ, what we do possess as the result of it. Brothers and sisters, we have become God's sons, the bride of our Lord Jesus Christ, the royal priesthood, the citizens of God's kingdom. We have God himself and his kingdom as our eternal inheritance. You see, no matter what happens to you in this world, who you are doesn't change, what you possess doesn't change. So please, do not ask me to have pity on you when you are facing difficult times and when you are suffering, because I cannot have pity on sons of God, the citizens of heaven, people who possess God and heaven as their eternal inheritance. Just can't. You are so blessed. Beyond description. You have every reason to be happy. You have every reason to be satisfied. You have every reason to be thankful. And if you do not agree with that, then there's something wrong with what you believe. So that not to be thankful, not to be satisfied, is to show that you still do not understand the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. One last thing before we do this, wrap this up. All the contents of the prayers we find in the Bible, and even Paul's prayer, in order for those prayers to be visibly fulfilled, visibly consummated, Jesus has to return. So if I'm praying that you will be like Christ, but in order for that prayer to be answered, fully, visibly consummated, Jesus has to return. So if you are praying biblically, actually, ultimately, you are praying for Jesus' return. Because that's only then all these things will be answered perfectly. So I want you to understand that if you pray biblically, ultimately, you are praying for Jesus' return. Meaning that you are seeking. All those prayers are seeking Jesus Christ. Otherwise, there's something wrong with whatever you're seeking. You need to have this understanding that we are seeking Jesus Christ. It is to say, if you are praying Lord's Prayer, in order for all those prayers to be completely consummated visibly, then Jesus has to return. So at the same time, you're ultimately praying for the complete destruction of this world. That's what you're praying for. Please have this understanding. So how can we pray for the earthly things at the same time we're praying the complete destruction of this earth? Do you see it? Brothers and sisters, I hope God gives you understanding.
So if you are praying biblically, what you are saying ultimately is, my Lord, come quickly. That is what we're praying for.
That's the prayer that you will see at the end of the Bible. Jesus Christ, Lord, come quickly.
And this gives us so much joy. Because this is exactly the will of God.
And our desire is to please Him.
And you will find that in Paul's content. He's praying so that you will please God in every respect.
All right, let's come back next time. Oh, next time we have Lord's Supper. So after that, we come back and look at the content of Paul's prayer one by one. Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for your love. Thank you for teaching us how to pray. Thank you for letting us know what prayer is and what we are truly praying for. We thank you that when we obey you, when you teach us how to pray, that we are praying for Jesus Christ. That we are seeking Jesus Christ. That is exactly what we would like to do. We thank you. Bless us that we may, all of us, will be able to pray according to your will. Bless us. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.